God's unmerited favor for us, His crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive! I can't believe you're alive! Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive! I can't believe you're alive! This is awesome! Andrew, get out of the boat! Come on!
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there, and the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there, and if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is
He said
okay.
What?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for
no,
what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
Well, good morning, church. And a very warm greeting in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great time to be alive and in the house of the Lord, and certainly want to greet you all this morning and pray that you are keeping well. Well, as we continue our series, which we've been looking at over the past several weeks, Christianity Explored, and as you've gleaned from Bev, our service leader, and the worship team, the songs, and from this video introduction, we're talking about the grace of God, the grace of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are with us and that your presence is here. And Lord, we just look to you now and say thank you for your grace and your goodness towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Didn't wait till we could get it together, but while we were yet sinners, We're grateful for that unconditional love. And our desire, Lord, is to love you more. And Lord, as we come now to feast on your word, would you speak to our hearts today? Show us your perfect way through your word. And would you anoint me afresh as your servant speaker now? Give me the boldness and the utterance to speak, to make known your gospel. And when it's all said and done, may we give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about Jubilee and for Her Majesty and also about the theme of grace, but also want to mention, by way of introduction, it's also Pentecost Sunday today. It's Pentecost Sunday, and certainly we thank God for the Holy Spirit in our lives, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and certainly we thank God for that wonderful occasion. What is grace? I'm going to continue reading now and pick up where Bev left off from verse number 66. And it reads like this: while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming herself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene. Jesus, she said, but he denied it. I don't know or understand what you are talking about, he said, and went into the entrance. Here comes the servant girl again. When the servant girl saw him there, she said to him again and to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean. He began to call down curses on himself and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately, the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and he wept. What is grace? Friends, on the 21st of April of 1947, it was on the 21st birthday of then Princess Elizabeth, who accompanied her father, King George, and her mother, her sister, on a tour of South Africa. It was on that trip, on that tour, that the then Princess Elizabeth made an important address to all the people of the Commonwealth. And this is what she had to say. I declare before you all, that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. And church, 70 plus years later, the Queen, by the grace of God, has continued to devote her life to public service. The Queen, a woman who oozes with class and dignity, yet the stalwart tenacity and the longevity to reign throughout the ebbs and the flows of life, through family struggles, the death of loved ones, through wars, pandemics, and even reigning over 14 prime ministers over her 70-year reign. But most of all, church, Her Majesty the Queen, amongst all of her duties and very busy schedule, is known for her faith in Jesus Christ and her service to the Church of England and to the Christian Church as a whole. And the Queen's perspective of her faith in Jesus is perhaps best summed up in her Christmas address to the country in 2014, when she said, "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life. Jesus is a role model of reconciliation and forgiveness. He stretched out his hands in love, acceptance, and healing." And she goes on to say, "Christ's example has taught me to seek, to respect, and to value all people of whatever faith or none." And this morning, by way of introduction, I would like to focus on the Queen's inclusion of the words reconciliation and forgiveness. Because at the scene of our text this morning, we see a clear picture of what the grace of God is really all about. What is this grace that we often talk about in church? What is this grace that we often sing about for our songs and our hymns? Well, the biblical definition of grace is simply the unmerited favor of God given to humanity. In other words, divine grace is distributed to us without merit. You don't need to go to university and write countless essays and pass exams to obtain the grace of God. I know all about those essays, I tell you. You don't need to be connected to the royal family to obtain the grace of God. But the grace of God is given without the possibility of earning it as a reward. God's grace is the favor of God to the unworthy. Or God's benevolence is given to the undeserving. Or in the words of John Stott, grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. And friends, grace is that subject that every single one of us here today can find common ground with. Because all of us are recipients of the grace of God in our lives. As Paul lets us know, it is, "For by grace are you saved, and none of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast." And no matter what life may throw in our directions, friends, there is no match for the grace of God. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is look at the Apostle Paul, who complained about what he called the thorn in his flesh. And he asked and he prayed for 3 times for God to remove this thorn, but there was no change in his circumstance. But although Paul's thorn, or whatever it may have been, was clearly causing Paul discomfort in his life, but the response from God was simply that, "I may not remove the thorn, the challenge away from your life, but what I'll give you is my grace." Because my grace is sufficient for you. And church, I don't know who needs to hear this today, but whatever you may be facing in your life right now, I'm here to encourage you that God's grace is sufficient for you. Sufficient. But Nathan, really, you don't know what I'm going through right now. You don't know the tribulation, the trial, the test of my family. I know, but God's grace is sufficient for you. That means that his grace is able to supersede the thorn. There may be challenges that may seem to be mounting up in your lives, but the good news is that God's grace is more. So as we transition to the scene of our text, as Jesus was betrayed in the garden, arrested, and then brought before the Sanhedrin. And the first point that I want to leave with you this morning about the grace of God is, number one, the grace of God teaches us that we ought to fight fire with grace. Fight fire with grace. This is from verses 63 to 65. Look what it says from verse number 63. The high priest got so upset, he tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he said. "You've heard what he had to say. Blasphemy. What do you think?" And then they all condemned him as worthy of death. And then even some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him. They struck him with fists. And then they goaded him to prophesy. And then they beat him. But what was the response of Jesus? You see, church, there's almost an innate attitude amongst humanity that builds a defense mechanism, if you will, within us, that simply says, if you mess with me, then I will mess with you. That if you slap me, then I, in return, will slap you. It's where we get the expression and the phrase, fight fire with fire. That if you bring the heat to me, then I will bring the heat to you. It's the attitude of retaliation, rendering retribution to those who have done wrong or harm to you. And here is the reality, friends. Sometimes retaliation and retribution, on paper, it may look and appear as if it is deserved. Yeah. It may look on paper that someone deserves our retaliation and retribution. On paper. But yet still, Jesus teaches us a new kind of standard. A new ethos. That instead of fighting fire with fire, Jesus teaches us to fight fire with grace. Because after they arrested him, and after they mocked him, and after, according to verse 65, they spat at him, one of the most degrading acts to spit at another human being, let alone the Son of God. And after they closed their fists and they punched him, goading him to prophesy and to prove his divinity. And yet still, with all that unjust punishment, with all the goading, with all the violence perpetrated against Jesus, instead of exercising sovereign retaliation and offering a divine karate kick back, Jesus responds by showing control and offering grace. And we know that according to Mark's gospel, that Peter actually became very upset and angry when Jesus was arrested. In fact, he went on to cut off the ear of one of the servants who came to arrest Jesus. But in the very next verse, Jesus again demonstrates that his mission is one of grace and not of physical violence. He commanded Peter in verse 11 of John's account. He says, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" And then in Mark's account, he records that Jesus said, "Am I leading a rebellion?" In other words, don't allow anger and temporary fits of rage, even if it appears to be justified, even if they throw the first punch, even if they say the first harsh word against you. But above all else, Jesus teaches us to keep in view and to remember our purpose. Remember that our assignment is far greater than trying to fight back and get even. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not our job to fight back. It's not our job to get even. It's not our job to fight fire with fire. But the challenge for us, church, the challenge for Christians, is will we fight back with grace? That's why the Apostle Paul put it this way: "If any man or woman be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a person in the spirit of," here it is, "meekness, considering yourself, lest you be overtaken also." You see, what I love, church, about the life and the ministry of Jesus on earth is the wonderful way in which Jesus handled his reputation and his divine nature. I remember in school, in almost every instance where a fight would break out in the playground, it would often always start with something being said that the other person took offense to. And then the subsequent response was always, "Who do you think you are talking to? Don't you know who I am? Don't you dare talk to me like that. Who do you think you're talking to?" And it's amazing to me that despite being mocked, despite being arrested, despite being betrayed by one of his own disciples, despite being punched in the face and even spat at in the face, you will never see recorded in the scripture, any of the gospels, where Jesus responded to them by saying, "Do you know who I am? Who do you think you are talking to?" And here's the thing, church. If anyone could legitimately have the right to say that, then it would be Jesus Christ. Jesus certainly qualifies, because who was the one who John says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, in reference to Jesus? He was with God in the beginning, and all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So if anyone reserved the right to say, "Who do you think you're talking to?" then Jesus certainly had more than enough credit in the bank to say that. But yet still, he made himself of no reputation. His purpose was not to flaunt his reputation, but his purpose was to demonstrate his love and the Father's love for the world that was given by grace. So maybe this is a good time for us to examine our manner and our posture towards hostility in our lives. Have we allowed our own personal ego to get in the way of God's purpose of offering grace? Has it become all about I instead of Christ? May I encourage us all today, as challenging as it is, and it is challenging, it is difficult at times, to not fight fire with fire, but to fight fire with grace. Hallelujah. But not only should we fight fire with grace, but finally this morning, find our identity in God's grace. Find our identity in God's grace. You see, and this is from verses 66 to 70. Normally, when we get to this part of the story, preachers would often focus on Peter's denial of Christ. And yes, that was significant. It fulfilled what Jesus had previously said and prophesied. And it was a major learning curve for Peter in his ministry. However, this morning, I would like to focus not so much on Peter's denial of Christ. However, this morning I'd like to focus on Peter's resembling of Christ. See, as I was reading this week, the Holy Spirit nudged me in a different direction. It made me think from a different perspective on the story. Not to focus primarily on Peter's denial. Yes, that was significant. But I want to focus on Peter's resembling of Christ. Well, what do you mean, Nathan, Peter's resembling of Christ? Because I love the fact that this servant woman could see something about Peter, about the way that he carried himself, perhaps, yes, from an external point of view, as she looked closely at him. And maybe she's convinced that maybe she's seen him before with Jesus. But then she goes on to talk about his background. The fact that he's a Galilean. He's from Galilee. She says, surely you are one of them. But as I began to read this passage this week, began to look at the other side and inspect this woman's interrogation. Because it's one thing to look like you're connected to Jesus, but it's another thing to inwardly live your life like you are connected to Jesus. You are one of them, she said. You belong to this Jesus group. You're a part of Jesus's crew. My question this morning, friends, do you resemble the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you resemble his teachings? Do we reflect his grace and his mercy to others? She says, surely you are one of them. You see, from a family perspective, there's often some sense of resembling your parents. For example, for those of you who watched over the past few days the Queen's Jubilee celebrations, you only have to take a look at Prince George to know that he's connected to his father. Did you see him there yesterday in his suit and tie? A spitting image of his father, Prince William. But I want to ask us all this morning, myself included, do we resemble Jesus Christ? Do we embody and resemble the life and the ministry of Jesus in our context today? That when people look at us, do they say, you must be one of them? You're a Christian. There's something about you. There's something about your life. You're connected to Jesus, aren't you? You're a Christian. When people view us, do they see the hope of Christ in us? Do we point people to the love of God through Jesus Christ by how we live our lives? Or are we connected by input, but our output does not resemble the input? For example, if we take a look at this keyboard has an input, right? It's plugged into an extension lead, which gives it power. That's why our chief musician was able to play so skillfully today, because the piano is connected by input. But although the piano is connected by input, the output depends on whoever sits down and plays it. Yes, it may be switched on. Yes, the keyboard may have power, but how it sounds depends on its output. So if I sit down behind this keyboard and I play it, the output sounds terrible. The output does not resemble the fact that it has an input that is connected to the source. And just like in our lives, when we live out this gospel each day, a question for us is, yes, we have received the grace of God by input, but are we living the grace of God in terms of its output? Because when we are connected to the source by input, by the grace of God, and we now begin to play in tune with the Holy Spirit directing us and leading our step, then we can play and have a nice, melodious in output. Something nice in step with the Holy Spirit. Because it all depends. Output. Do we resemble Jesus Christ by output? The woman was convinced. You're a part of that Jesus group, aren't you? Yeah. You can deny it all you want. I know who you are. Do you know what my prayer is? I've been reading this week. My prayer is, I want people to see Jesus in me. That even if I was stupid enough to deny it, they would say, no, I see something in you. Not for my name's sake, not for my glory, but to give him all the glory and the praise. So my final challenge to you today, yes, we are recipients of the grace of God in our lives. But are we, in turn, by means of output, are we demonstrating the grace of God each and every day? This world is looking for hope. This community is looking for hope. And we might just be the only resemblement of Jesus that people see in our community. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. Words cannot describe how good you have been to us. Thank you that we're saved by grace. Thank you that grace is not something that we can earn. Thank you that it's not by our own good works. But thank you that you poured out your grace in abundance because you so loved us. Now help us, Father. Help us, Lord, in the area of our weaknesses. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate grace to others, that at times in our lives when we have to go through difficult moments, when people are unkind to us and say horrible things, or they even may even try to be physical with us, help us, Lord, to respond like Jesus and not to fight back with fire, but to fight fire with grace. Lord, we know it's difficult, but through you we can do all things. Help us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, each and every day. When we're frustrated, when we're tired, and yes, even times when we get angry. Help us, Lord, not to allow the sun to go down on our wrath, on our anger. But help us to deal with it, Lord, and always see it and see people through the lenses of your grace. We love you and we bless you now. And may we continue each day to resemble you and your grace. Amen. 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 To God be the glory.